again, in verse 2, we see this term, full, that we've been mentioning, occurs so many times. Full assurance of understanding. Because if we don't have that, then we're going to be drawn away very easily. It's going to be very easy to follow after all sorts of things. And now we come to verse 4, where he says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." There's going to be warning signs that are going to be put out as we go through this book. We've actually already had some of them in verse 23, we said earlier, if you continue in the faith. And now he moves on to say that there are, along this pathway, it's like you're traveling on a road, and to the right and to the left you see various warning signs warning you as to what may be coming ahead. And he lays it out for them. He says there are going to be those individuals that will come to you, and they're going to sound very good. They're going to sound very convincing. They're going to sound very scriptural. They're going to use elements of the word and elements of man's philosophy and mix it together and say this is much higher than just this book. This is the new and revised edition, etc. And he says, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So we want to be careful of these things. We want to have, as verse 2 says, this full assurance that I know the things I believe in. I know it. I believe it. I can show it from the word. I have the faith that was given to me. This is why Paul was laboring. This is why he was striving in agony, because he wanted to see Christ formed in them. He wanted to see, not just positionally, as we said, Christ was in them, but practically, that Christ would be manifested in them on a regular basis, and that there are going to be those that are going to try to stand in the way and come with all sorts of words that sound very nice, but in the end, they are not supported by the scripture and by the word of God. So this needs to be our guide, but we really need to have this full assurance of understanding.
I think that we should understand that words communicate thoughts. It's important that we understand that wisdom and knowledge is in God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the enticing words that men seek to set before the believer today, they are enticing because they pique the intellect. There is something that when men seek to communicate things that are in opposition to the mind of God, it is attractive to the minds of us, of men, that have been impacted by sin. It gives us the impression that there is something there that is greater than what we will find in God. And that is why we begin this part with the wisdom and the knowledge of God. The first chapter speaks about being filled full with the knowledge. Knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding. So that when men set before us things that seem, you know, sometimes I remember sitting in courses, and you would listen to a man or a woman who has all these degrees, and you would say, wow, this sounds, I mean, unbelievable. And then when your mind would go back to the Word of God, excuse me?
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. And then when you went back to the Word of God, you would say, it can't be believable what these people are saying, because God's word says something completely different. And so the Apostle Paul wants you and I to know that lest any man beguile us. You see, the enticing words has an objective in view. It is to bring doubt into the minds of the believer that what God says may not be completely true. And so when that enters into the mind, those enticing words, it is the avenue by which the enemy makes inroads. You see, it is the mind, I want you to get this, young people, the mind of the believer is the battleground for the enemy. Once he has infiltrated the mind with enticing words, with doubt, with questioning what God said and his wisdom, that is really where the beginning of the fall comes. He did that with the woman in the garden. Has not God said? Well, you know, and then he adds something. And it's an enticing word. But it's important to know that the foolishness of God, and I'm sure when the Apostle Paul wrote these words, he wrote them reverently. is wiser than all of the intellect of men.
And I'm going to let this brother answer it that we just gave the mic to. Okay? I want you to help us. We've said a lot this morning. I want you to help us in language that you young people understand. I want you to tell me the difference or what you think about after you make your statement. What is the difference between beguiling and enticing? When somebody does that to you, what do you think of? But you go ahead and help us with your comment.
I was just going to say, Brother Tony was talking about the mind being the battlefield of the believer. And as Christians, there are certain things that we have to be, that we have to affirm in our minds. For example, we have to know that our salvation comes through grace. We have to be sure about that. We have to know that we can't lose our salvation. So when we have those doubts, those are the doubts that Satan is going to use to cause more doubts and to cause issues in our life. It's important for Christians to know the position and who we are in Christ as redeemed, as sanctified, and what Christ has for us. As for your question between enticement and beguile, enticement, because I just read it in the French version, means more seductive. To try to take something that is something of a, that, for example, if a person has not been yet convinced that they can't do anything for their salvation, that it's not fully of grace, then to be enticed, they could be introduced to sort of doctrine where they could work for their salvation. Whereas for beguiled, honestly, I don't know.
Okay, well, this guy is, he's an important person in this chapter. This is an educated man. This man knows how to speak. Now, I tell you what, after the meeting today, I have a set of wings out in my car, and I want you to go with me, and we're going to go up on top of the building up here, and you can fly. I've seen birds do it. All they're doing is this, and I'm going to give you these wings, and I want you to fly off the building, and I want you to think, and I'll keep talking, and I'll keep convincing you, and you say, well, that's far-fetched. Well, how about a special pair of glasses that somebody put on under a tree? And he got a revelation from God. And one of the fastest growing cults in this world today is Mormonism. And we get new cults, we get new revelations every day. And, you know, we value your word of God, but there's a place also for this. Think of that religion. Think of the people that are bringing this kind of stuff with them. It's no more far-fetched than me giving your wings and your tail feather and you're going to jump off the building and fly. These men carry Bibles. You know, I believe that they are men. I don't believe that they are Christians. I don't think Scripture shows them as believers at all, but they've worked their way in amongst us and they beguile. Somebody beguiles you, he has an end in view that's different than what he tells you. The only way he can get you to go that way is to tell you you can fly. And you follow because he used persuasive language with you. Listen, these people are all around us today. Paul says, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Then what does he say to them to counteract this? This is what we want to see from this epistle. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. He had never met them. I'm with you in the spirit. He says, I'm joying and I'm beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Let me tell you something. If you see somebody that you want to help and they have a difficulty, follow this principle. Acknowledge what is good there to begin with. Acknowledge what is of God, as Paul did to the Corinthians. You come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then he says, well, listen, in light of these people, how did you receive Christ? How did you receive him? And you say, well, I received him by simple faith. He says, well, I'll tell you what. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, just walk the same way. Walk away from those people. Don't be the one that says, I'm going to convince them and I'm going to bring them in. I was at a Bible conference recently, and a brother talked about having spoken to a Jehovah's Witness for 2 hours. And then he said, well, I don't think I really accomplished anything. I think he probably didn't, because Scripture tells us when these people come and they bring this doctrine, we don't bid them Godspeed, we don't allow them into our house, or we're partakers of their evil deeds, rooted and built up in him. And this is what our brother was saying. Established in the faith. How? As you have been taught. I'm not looking for new things today. I'm looking for the things that are here and established in the Word of God, that have been here, that others have committed to me, that I might walk by them. Established as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I don't really have those wings out there. We're not going to go there, okay? Maybe others can help us on this particular man.